Good morning, and welcome to Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Seth Johns. I'm the youth pastor here. And got a couple announcements for you guys this morning. It's an exciting morning this morning, and it's been an exciting weekend as we've gotten the new children's wing underway. So this morning we have three of the rooms up and functioning, and then hopefully next week we'll have all of them running as well. So today we still have community kids in here during the service, but we do have our nursery, toddler and pre-K back there already going this morning, so it's an exciting time. One note with that, today we are allowing parents to help go in to pick up and to drop off their students, so that way they can get a little bit of an idea of how it's set up. But that's not going to be something that we regularly do as we're trying to pursue a secure children's wing here. So one other thing, if you guys don't have kids and still want to check out the area, they said once all the kids are out of there this morning, then there will be a time that you guys can swing back through there and check things out. But that's not until all the kids are out of there. So they'll let you know. You might have to linger around there for a second if you guys want to take a look back there. But it's really exciting stuff back there this morning. Hey, youth group is still going year-round, every Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8 p.m., and because of that, we still need some help until Awana starts here. So through the end of October, we still need sign-ups for people that can help with child care for the youth leader's kids. Now we have a new spot with a little bit extra space now for that, too. But there's a sign-up sheet out there on the counter that you can swing by and sign up on for. So it's always a great help, and we are so appreciative of everyone that's been helping so far all throughout the summer until now. I have on my notes save the date for the Fall Festival, but that's this Saturday. So we're past the point of saving the date. We're just at the point of be there, right? So it's this Saturday, October 4th. Everything's going to start at 1. There's a full schedule on the flyers out there on the counter on the back of them. If you turn that over, you'll see all the different things. But it's a great time, a whole bunch of different activities for a family fun day at the Knobs. So you want to make sure that you get on out there to the Fall Festival at the Knob Farm on Saturday. The Walk for Life to benefit the Capital Area Pregnancy Center will be taking place on Friday, October 3rd. So that's here soon, this week, too. It starts at 6:30 p.m. They're going to be at Vibrant Church in Mechanicsburg. To participate in that, you just have to scan the QR code and follow the instructions that it gives you there. We're going to be having a baptism service on Sunday, October 12th, two Sundays out from now. So please let Pastor Glenn know if you're interested in being baptized or have any questions about that as well. We're going to be having our annual Trunk and Treat event coming up. It takes place in our church parking lot. It's going to be Wednesday, October 29th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. So it's a great time for everyone to come out. It's a great time. We always have a fun time. The youth group does the games. Plenty of adults come and set up trunks. And then it's just a fun time for the kids to come through and visit all the different trunks. We often have different chunks that are themed around the gospel as well. We have a candy donation that we do, and then we give those out as well. So it's a great time for the whole family, the Trunk and Treat. Just a reminder, this month we are highlighting the Huckles as our mission partners. So there's some different ways that you can be praying for them on the screen. We also have a flyer out there with those exact ways, too, that you can take home and be hang on your fridge, and every time you see it, you can be praying for them as well. So you can also have more information for all the missionaries that we're talking about out here in the hallway as well. So if you guys swing by that hallway too, you'll see even their weekly or their email updates that they send us as well. Hey, one more thing. If anyone is new here this morning, if this is your first time joining with us, a couple things for you. First of all, we have a gift for you. If you go out these doors here, take a right, you'll see those countertops that I've been mentioning during the announcements. You see a white gift bag on top. In there is a gift for you, as well as a little Connect card that you can fill out and hand into the office that helps us get to know you a little bit, too. One more thing, we do recognize that giving to God in tithes and offerings is a way that we can worship him. But we don't pass the plates here, but we do have a box mounted to the wall there on the back there that you can go ahead and drop your tithes and offerings in when you get here or when you leave or any time that you need to then. Hey, at this time, would you all please join with me in standing as we prepare our hearts to worship God with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. God, I pray that you give us a focused heart and a clear mind as we open up your word. Will we be challenged as the believers before were also challenged with these words? Will we live our lives according to your standards and not our own desires? God, as we join together in song, would it just be a praise and prayer to you that is glorifying to your ears? Would it be a song not just lifted up by individuals, but a unified body of believers, God, because we are family under you. And as we go out, God, will we not just hide and only glorify and show you while we're in these walls, God, but will we take you out? Would people know who we follow, that we're your disciples based on what we say, by what we do, and how we do it? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I hear that this is a new song for this church, so let's worship.
And make way. The King is in the room. The King is in the room. Expecting for strongholds to break. Cause we know what you can do. We know what you can do. We're gonna see lives changed, souls saved, broken hearts made new. The King is in the room. Lord, we enthrone you upon our praise. The King is in the room. There's freedom and life anywhere you reign. Jesus, we bow only to you. We're laying down all of our crowns. The King is in the room. Run free. He's tearing down the walls. He's tearing down the walls. There's grave-shaking power when we sing the name above them all. Your name above them all.
The King is in the room.
The Lord, we enthrone you upon our praise. The King is in the room. There's freedom and life anywhere you reign. Jesus, we bow only to you. We're laying down all of our crowns. The King is in the room.
Fear has to flee. Shame has to leave. Before the King. Before the King, chains had to break, dry bones away, prepare the way. Whoa. Fear has to flee, shame has to leave. Before the King, before the King, chains had to break, dry bones away, prepare the way. The King is in the room. Lord, we enthrone you upon our praise. The King is in the room. There's freedom and life Jesus, we bow only to you. We're laying down all of our crowns. The King is in the room. The King is in the room.
Great are you, Lord.
your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath.
The breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise.
It's your breath.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great are you,
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
God, just as we come before you this morning with our praises to you through song and worship and fellowship and studying your word, God, that and we'd be just mindful of your presence with us. Again, God, we just wait for that day where what you are doing is complete. We can stand before you and worship you for eternity, God. We just pray as we continue this morning and as we open your word and you speak to us through those words, God, that you would just use Glenn in a great way and just allow us to have open hearts and minds of what you're saying today. God, as we go from this place, that we can be just a great light for you and example to those that are around us and have opportunities to lead those that are not knowing you, God. We give all this to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Yeah, lots happening around here. You'll see more and more. I know that this week the contractor is going to be starting to lay some stuff out here outside, and I think in a week or so the parts for the metal building actually show up. They're finishing things up inside here, so a lot going on. And thank you to all that came this weekend to kind of help get things set up, especially thanks to Carrie, our children's director, for all her coordination and working with people to get good ideas and some great stuff back there for the kiddos. So really some good times for us here at Community, and appreciate each one of you. Hey, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans. Actually, this is number 8 in the series. I can't believe we've already, this is 8th sermon. Wow, I didn't remember preaching that many. Must have happened somewhere along the way, okay? Yeah. All right, so number 8, and we're in Romans chapter 5, and our title is This Place of Undeserved Privilege. Actually comes from one of the verses here. This place of undeserved privilege. Have you ever yourself been in a place of undeserved privilege? Perhaps you know someone who, because of their position, has access to privileges and includes you to enjoy them with them. A friend of mine was invited by his stockbroker to attend a Philadelphia Phillies game and enjoy the loge that was paid for by the company. He invited me to go along. They were great seats. We had great food. I didn't have to spend anything for it. The parking was paid for, okay, and they had, actually, there were some other sports things going on at the same time, and they had TVs in the loge, and you could, it was just amazing, just amazing. And I had done nothing to deserve being there. I enjoyed the privileges because of my friendship with someone who had done something that opened the door. The gospel is the way of undeserved privilege for those who have put their faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Paul here in Romans says that Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege. We have all kinds of privileges because of Jesus. He is the one that has paved the way for us. He's the one that makes it all possible. And he invites us to enjoy what he's made possible. And we look in this week's passage in Romans 5, 1 to 11, and Paul here points to our place of privilege in Christ, and he tells the Christians in Rome, as well as us today, what we enjoy as a result of our faith. So I want to read through the passage. It'll be on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible if you'd like. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Paul here gives us not only the encouragement that we stand in a place of undeserved privilege, but he starts to spell out here, and he'll do more throughout this book of Romans, but spell out what some of those privileges are. And we're going to look at some of those today. You'll notice that the first that's stated here in this passage is that we enjoy peace with God. All right, peace with God. Now, Paul is not referring here to a peaceful feeling. All right? Certainly we have encouragement through the scriptures that the peace of God that passes all understanding, I feel like I'm getting pops here, I don't know, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as we pray and bring our requests to God. So, I mean, there is something to be said, certainly, of the peace of God that we enjoy as Christians. But that's not what Paul is writing about here. He's writing about our peace with God, that we are no longer enemies of God. You know, if there's a war going on, and there are some going on in our world today, you know, people are seeking and desiring peace. There's all kind of things going on politically to try to bring peace in some areas where that's not happening. Peace would be the absence of war, right? I mean, peace would be people stop fighting, stop killing each other. All right, well, that really applies to what Paul's writing about here as far as our relationship with God, because as he's been showing throughout the first part of the book of Romans, because we really in our sinful conditions, the Bible makes it clear, are enemies of God until something is done to bring peace. And it's not something that we have been able to accomplish on our own. The separation that sin brought is not something that we as human beings can remedy. Okay, we can try. People have tried throughout centuries to be good enough or, you know, to appease God somehow, to thinking that that's going to work. Well, Paul made it very clear in those first several chapters that even if you are a moral person, you still sin, and God's holy, and you can't meet his holiness on your own attempts. And certainly, outside of the moral piece, we certainly see in our world the immorality that prevails and evil acting all the time. And all of the efforts of mankind to try to deal with those things have been ineffective. Legislation, right? Enough money. You know, what kind of attempts do we make to try to deal with evil? A lot. I was watching something recently and noticing all of the security in place because of the threats that we have in our society. And I was thinking, boy, there is a lot of money and training going on here to try to protect. And we thank God, I do, for people that give themselves to protect. And we're really benefiting from that. But in the long run, don't we all agree that they're not 100% effective? I mean, it's still a difficult situation where we are existing because of evil in the world that we are not able to really take away. And we all know, if we're honest with ourselves, that we have potential for great evil. We have potential for doing things that don't seem to be fitting who we think we might be. Just listening this morning to a sermon before I came. Wasn't my own, but somebody else, okay. But they were talking about David. And David, of course, being a man who God said was a man after his own heart. But later in his life, after David had walked closely with God, we find him doing some atrocious things. You know, he's attracted, of course, like men are, to a beautiful woman. And because he's king, he uses his power to get her to come and be with him in an intimate way. And they're not married. And, of course, then he tries to cover his sin by bringing her husband, who's in the army, back so that it looks like he impregnated his wife, okay? And of course, he refuses. He's a more honorable man, Uriah. David eventually has him murdered in war. Wow. This is a godly man. We see it all the time, don't we? We see, even in our day, where people who maybe we thought were going to keep walking in the godly way fail and fall. Well, we've all experienced some level of failure and fall. I mean, if everybody were forced to stand up and tell everything today, we would all be embarrassed. Yeah. But the good news, see, the good news is that we now stand in this place of undeserved privilege. We didn't earn it. We didn't do it. We couldn't do it. We can't fix ourselves. But God, in His grace and love in Christ, has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so, it's much greater than me going to the Loge at the Phillies game. But it's like that. It's the privileges that we have because of Jesus, because of what He's done, not because of ourselves. He has brought peace with God. No longer any war between us. The separation that exists because of our sinfulness has been taken away because Jesus paid it all. We just sang it, right? He paid every bit of it for you, all right? There's nothing more that you need to do as far as you having a relationship with God and having your sins forgiven, except have faith in Christ, all right? Faith in Christ alone is the way. And Paul's been making that very clear. And as a result of that, we have peace with God. This was prophesied by Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. This is a familiar passage. We read it usually every Christmas, okay? It's the prophecy about Jesus coming. And it's Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His government and peace will never end. Good word, right? He's the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace, and his government will never end, the government of peace that Christ brings. Jesus is the one. Now, I don't know how many of you have been reading the book of Nahum this week. It's not one that we usually read. Small prophet in the Old Testament. But in Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, we read this. "Look, a messenger is coming over the mountains with good news. He is bringing a message of peace." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The second undeserved privilege that Paul shares is that we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Now, in all of these things, let me just kind of pause here for a moment. We need to acknowledge that's what we have, okay? And we need to direct our thinking according to what God says is true. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, our problems are that we still wrestle with our human condition. And even though these things are true, because God's made it so through faith, there are still struggles that we have to think the right way. And you can feel sometimes that you don't have peace with God, right? You can feel sometimes that you're not in this position where you're not looking forward, you find yourself looking backward instead. And that's a dangerous place to be. Can't go back, can't fix anything. We thank God that He's the one that does. I'm so thankful for that. I mean, I look back to things and I get stuck there sometimes and I need to get out of there. Lord, You've delivered me from this. I don't need to live there. And so I have to be thinking that way. And so we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We will, dear friends in Christ, someday we will see God and we will be like Him. We will. The Bible makes that very clear. This is something that all mankind, by the way, desires and tries to get to. Do you know that? It's shown in people who don't know God trying to be God. Think about it. We all have within us a desire to really know God, but the only way, of course, is for us to give up our own selfish desires to be God in order to know the true God. And so those who don't submit themselves, those who don't humble themselves, those who don't repent from who they are, they're going to try to seek that another way. And we've all done it. We try to take over. We try to make things happen on our own. We try to be our own God. But we were made and are made in the image of God. And it's sin that keeps anyone from being who he intended to be. But in Christ, we've been set free. And so we can let him take over. And he will make us in this image originally planned. 1 John 3:2 says this, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." Now listen to what else he says here, though. "And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure." The statement that people make at times is really not true according to what we just read from John. Some people say, well, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Have you ever heard that statement? Yeah. That isn't true according to this. If you have an eager expectation of going home to be with the Lord, it will make a difference in how you live now. You will desire not only to be there someday, but to live in a way that's appropriate as you think about that. You will be eager, as he says here, to make yourself pure. We're still wrestling with that, right? But we still have a responsibility. We still need to let the Lord do the things he wants to do in our lives. Walking with him is the same as receiving him. If you've come to know Jesus in your life, you've come to a place where you've said, "Lord, I give up." You know, I need you. I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. And we repent of our sins, and we yield ourselves to him. Walking with the Lord's the same way, isn't it? Daily. It's saying, "Lord, I've been trying to do it myself again. I quit. It doesn't work. I know you give me wisdom, and you give me guidance through your word, and you've given me a mind to use and all those things, but I know I can do it on my own, and it doesn't work. I need you. I give myself to you. I give all the things that you've given to me to you. I ask you to guide me." That's how we walk with the Lord. And so in this walk, we're to have this mentality, as Paul says, of the privileged position we're in, that we confidently and joyfully look forward to what? To sharing God's glory, to be like him. We will be like him, and we will see him as he really is. Next, Paul says that we are privileged in that we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Anybody ever run into problems and trials? I get that laugh. Yeah, okay. You got a lot of that going on here. It's easy. We're all there. Absolutely. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. It reminds me here, as I read this, of Paul's writing in Philippians. You know, we did a study on Philippians, and one of the things was that Paul keeps saying to the people in Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say," what? "Rejoice." I think y'all should rejoice, yeah. Not a good way. Right? Hey, you know what rejoicing is. It's something different than that, that's for sure. Okay, yeah, so Paul is all about it. And Paul writes that as he wrote in Philippians, and he writes here, and we know Paul's life. I mean, he had all kind of troubles from living out the gospel. I mean, serving Christ did not bring Paul a life of ease. I mean, he says that he had good times. He said there were times he had known plenty as well as want, but he had learned to be content in all of those things. Yeah.
And so here in Romans, he's got that theme here, that the privilege we have is that we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Life is hard, and there are many ways we will suffer and weep. God in his grace, though, is at work to bring good out of the difficulty, to bring good to those who love him. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." You know, I read that and I think, I talk to people and they say, why am I having this trouble? Why, I mean, what's going on? Did I do something? I read our Savior, makes it pretty clear. Don't be surprised. I mean, Peter said that too. Don't be surprised when you have trouble, right? I mean, it's kind of part of the life here. And Jesus says, you're going to have lots of trials and sorrows. But then he says this, "But take heart because I have overcome the world." You haven't overcome the world, but in him, you're in that privileged position. You are in the privileged position of knowing Christ, the one who has all authority over everything, and no matter what trial or sorrow you face, he's able to be all you need in the midst of it. Do you believe that? I know I wrestle with that myself. I mean, I get in and I don't always think that way, but boy, I need to. I need to get back to where I need to be, and that's who he is, not who I am, because I know I'm overwhelmed. I know that the situation is just too much. And you know, dear friends, as your pastor, and I see many of you go through hard times, I wish I could turn a switch, but I can't. I don't understand how it all works. I want you to know that. I believe with all my heart what this says. I believe that God is at work in our trials and our sorrows. I believe he's doing good things, but from my perspective, I don't always see it, and you don't either. And I believe that someday, because the Bible tells me so, I will. I will see it. I'll understand it as, you know, but I'm not there yet. So what do I do now? I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith in the one who does understand. I walk by faith in the one who does have authority over things. I walk by faith in the one who said what I just said. You're going to have many troubles in this life, but take heart. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Don't let your hearts be troubled, right? Believe in God, he says, believe also in me. I've prepared a place for you, right? It's going to be okay someday. But right now, we walk through this dark valley. But what did the psalmist say? Even though I walk through this dark valley, you're with me. You're right. And your staff, they comfort me, right? He's with us. So that's where our strength is. And that's the place of undeserved privilege. It's just amazing. Paul goes on to say here that God is doing some specific things as we go through problems and trials. And that's one of the reasons that we can rejoice, because in those, there are things that take place that wouldn't probably take place without them. All right? We don't like them, but they do produce good things, right? If you raise children, you know that there are things that you kind of know that the kids don't like, but you need to do for them, you know, certain medicines or certain this and that and the other, or disciplines, all the things, you know. Why are we doing that? Well, a good parent is doing it for the benefit of the child and for them to lead a life that's productive. God's a good father, okay? And so as we go through trials and sorrows, he's at work to do something good in us. And Paul says here that the first thing he says, we develop endurance. We develop endurance. What is endurance? That's keeping going, right? If you fall down, you get up, right? If it's hard, you keep going. It's not giving up. Endurance. And how do you learn endurance? You keep working at it. I was talking to John. Where's my friend John Blacksmith? Hey, John. John is a cross-country runner. All right? I used to run. That's long in the past. I think about it, but that's about as far as I can go. All right, yeah. But I was talking to John this morning about it, and, you know, running is, it takes endurance. Many times, if you're a long-distance runner, you want to quit. You talk to a marathoner, man, they get to a certain point, it's kind of like you run into a wall, right? And you have to run through that, and you gain energy, hopefully, and you finish. My son's run many marathons. I think he's nuts, but that's okay. All right. He knows that. All right. But, yeah. But endurance. We learn how to keep going when we might be tempted to give up. We learn that God's grace is sufficient for us by being in situations where we need extra strength to keep going. Right? I bet you there could be multiple testimonies here this morning of how the Lord has given you strength and kept you going when you didn't know how you would. Amen? I'm going to pick on my wife this morning. She didn't know this, so I'll have to deal with it later. She's very gracious, though. No, and 5 years ago, she was a little over 5 years ago now, but she was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. And we didn't see that coming. And a lot of you ladies have been through those things. And but I was thinking about it as I was preparing this week that one of the elements that I've seen in Betty as a result of this, and I think it was kind of there already, but I mean it was developed more, and that is this whole issue of endurance. She kept going, right? She wasn't going to let that win. She was going to keep going. She was trusting the Lord. We had, and she had scripture verses all around the house, you know, and our daughter had printed some out, and some people had given her some, and just to keep the focus in the right place. And she just told me this week that one of the keys was she wanted to keep working because it kind of kept her mind away from the other things. And our mind can be the real problem, right? What we are dwelling on is going to drag us down. We need to think about what the Lord has said, right? And the Lord has said that when you're in the midst of trials and sorrows, that He will produce endurance. He will. Now, we got to participate with Him, right? If He says, you can keep going, and you say, no, I'm just going to lay here and be miserable, well, I think He'll let you do that too. But that's to encourage you to get out of that because you're going to be miserable. The Lord will let us do that sometimes so that we'll get back to where we belong. But His intention is that we grow in endurance. The second thing that Paul says that we grow in as we endure, we also develop strength of character. Now, some of us here are really a character. Yeah, we really developed that quite well, yeah. But I think this means something different than that. Yeah, but character, of course, is the quality of, I would say, excellence. It's God's standard of what a person should really be about. You know, and a desire to live a life that matters and to serve the Lord. You know, that we grow in the character that matters. Not being a character, but having the character that God wants for us. Have you ever noticed that the people who have the strongest character that we would look up to and have the best character traits, I have noticed, are those who have endured serious trials. Throughout my ministry, I've noticed that. You know, I think of a friend back in another church ministry. He was born with a condition that created a facial flaw. So his body produced extra arteries or blood vessel. I think it was blood vessels. But anyway, it would kind of create this big bump right here. So every time you'd see this guy, you know the first thing you see. I mean, he's going to school, right? I mean, you've all gone to school? Some of you are still going to school? I mean, school kids are not the most encouraging most of the time when you got something that's different than they have. Yeah, he endured all of that, all right? He endured surgeries to try to deal with that. And what would happen is they would do something surgically, and then it would grow right back. I mean, just a lifetime of this stuff. And I've watched that guy. And I want to tell you something. There's not a dearer man that I can think of that I've met. He just has a great, sweet spirit. And he would do anything for anybody. And just on the positive side in life. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? Well, I think that's what he's on this position of privilege. You know, he's got some stuff going on because God's with him. And he's learning in, by enduring. And he's learning that in the midst of endurance, that he develops a strength of character. He's not perfect, but he's certainly being perfected. Yeah. You know, many of you here are in the midst of situations and have gone through situations where you've suffered and it's been hard. Many have lost loved ones. And I've heard him say, I just don't know how I can go on. A very real feeling. Okay. But you know what? I've also seen those same people keep going. And they're still going on today. And I've seen God use them to help others. That's what the Lord does in the midst of the things that come our way. That's what comes from our position, our place of undeserved privilege. And the next thing that Paul says happens is that our confidence grows in the hope that we have in knowing Christ. It's a natural thing that happens when we go through difficulties. If we learn endurance, if our character is strengthened, which God promises he will do, it draws us closer to him. And when we get closer to him, we have confidence in the midst of things that might discourage us because he is our hope. We've seen how much he loves us. We see him help us through. And we look forward to being with him someday. And the hope that we have is not just a hope-so, but a guarantee from God. And we will not be disappointed because God loves us. God loves us. And Paul says the key to it all is that he has given us his Holy Spirit. God is with us. It's miraculous to think about. That the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. God, the third person of the Godhead, God himself and the Holy Spirit dwells within you as you've placed your faith in Christ. And he is able to comfort you, to guide you. He's able to help you understand the Word of God, all right? Enlighten your minds. He is able to rebuke you and convict you if you're getting out of line. But he's also able to get you back on track as you turn and go the right way. The Holy Spirit of God is at work all the time, even when you're sleeping. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I'm not a guy that really believes in dreams telling me what to do. But there are some times where I've had some dreams and it's caused me to think about something that maybe I wouldn't have thought about before. And there are times that the Spirit, I need to test the Spirit. I need to be sure that it's really of God. But there are times when that happens. That he'll speak to you in the night. Yeah. Or wake you up. You ever had that happen? You wake up and suddenly you're thinking about somebody you need to pray for. Or you're thinking about something you need to deal with. Yeah, I mean, it happens, doesn't it? The Spirit of God is with you. And that's the key to us living this life. We're in a place of undeserved privilege. We did not deserve to have God live in us. But he chose to do it. Just like Jesus chose to leave heaven and be conceived by the Holy Spirit inside of a human being and give up all of the privileges of heaven to be with us so that we could eventually, through faith in him, be in the privileged position that God has desired. It's amazing. And in the same way that he came to be in Mary. Now, you're not going to have a baby. Don't get worried here. But in the same way, really, he comes to be inside of you as you humble yourself to receive him as well. It's amazing. It's beyond our full understanding. But the Word of God says it's true, and we believe it. The Holy Spirit fills our hearts. And how does he fill it? What does he fill us with? He says he fills our hearts with his love. We're not alone. God loves us. He saved us. And he's bringing wonderful things into our lives. Most importantly, his presence through the Holy Spirit. The one who brings peace when we're anxious. Comfort when we're hurting. Guidance when we're struggling with what to do. Insight into God's word. And it's all because we are being filled with God's love. Now, at the end of this section, Paul again reminds us of who we are. Verse 10. He says, for since our friendship with God, and he says at 9 too, since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. We were still sinners, of course, when Christ died for us, as he makes it very clear in verse 8. But then verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still sinners, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Important to keep coming back. As we live out this life of undeserved privilege, that we don't get to a place where we think we deserve the privilege, right? We remember that it's only because of Christ. We remember that it's because of what he's done for us. And he's changed things in a miraculous way, but it's not of us. We need to remember that it's all grace, all because of what he's done. We were utterly helpless. There's nothing we could do to be right with God, but Christ did it for us. He came at just the right time. He died for us sinners. It was not because we're good. Now, Paul brings the human perspective in here. He says in this section that someone might even be willing to die for a good person. You see that in there? Yeah. But he says God's love is so great that he sent Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Dear friends, you don't have to measure up to be saved by God. You couldn't anyway. He's done it because he loves you. He's provided salvation if you'll believe and trust in him. So God has made us right in his sight by the blood of Christ. And this is what gives us confidence that we'll be saved from his condemnation. Let me just say this morning. If you've come to know Christ as your Savior and you're feeling condemned instead of saved, realize that you probably are not hearing from God on this. You're probably hearing from yourself. You self-condemn. Many times we kind of fall back into places where we think about, oh, how we failed. Of course, the devil's good at raising that up and playing with our minds. Okay. Or it may be, like I said, the Satan and his demons, or both, ourselves and that, condemning us. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said in John 3:17 that he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to bring salvation. Christ, if he's paid for your sins, isn't condemning you. All right? Trust him. And dear friends, it's more than just being forgiven. It's being restored to an amazing relationship with God. You see what he says here at the close of this? We are now friends with God. We were enemies. That's quite a difference. We're not any longer an enemy. And we can rejoice in this, and we should. We should be ecstatic. We were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. We are God's child and friend. It's wonderful to be in the family of God. But the relationship is closer even than just being in a position in the family of this world. It's beyond it all. Christ is closer than a brother. We are friends of God. In chapter 4, Paul points to Abraham as the spiritual father of all who were declared right by God through faith. And James speaks of Abraham in chapter 2 of James, and it says that because of his faith, he was called the friend of God. When we trust God to do in our lives what we cannot do for ourselves, we move into this place of undeserved privilege. We are friends with God. At the very beginning of time, when God made Adam and Eve, they enjoyed a friendship with God, but sin destroyed it. But Jesus has restored that which was lost. Jesus says in John 15, verses 13 to 16, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Dear friends, you're in a position through faith in Christ of being chosen. And he holds you. And he wants you to let him hold you. And he wants you to let him guide you. He wants you to live in this position, this place of undeserved privilege. So a question for us today in light of this passage is, are we living as friends of God? James 4:4 gives a warning that friendship with the world makes us an enemy of God. God has put us in a privileged position at great cost. We are friends through Christ, but we need to follow what Jesus commands, to love God and to love others. He is our friend and gives us all we need to grow in him and live for him. So we need to be thankful. We need to commit ourselves to him, to live for him day by day. We need to ask him every day to help us. And you know what? He will as we do. Treat him as your friend. Thank him for being your friend. Love him with all your heart and soul and mind. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, for this passage of Scripture and for the wonderful truth that we, through faith in Christ, are in a place of undeserved privilege. And as Paul says, we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Lord, may our lives here, as we await that time where that's fully true, grow in such a way through all of the situations that come our way, that we might let you continue to change us, that we will be seen as your friends, and that others will be drawn to you as well, that we might live in a way that you have said here is what's ours in Christ, and that is to endure the struggles. I know there are many here today who are thinking about the things that are on their hearts, in their physical bodies, the struggles of this life, the relational issues, the emotional struggles. But Lord, you've said that these cause us to endure and build strength of character. Lord, may we let it be and let it be so and trust you more and grow to love you more and more. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand as we continue to worship this morning?
I'm a friend of God. I'm
a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. You call me friend.
All right, two things for you to remember this week, okay? First, through faith in Christ, you are in a position of undeserved privilege. Remember that. There's going to be a lot of things that try to distract you from that as you go through this week, as every week does. But the Lord says it's true, all right? I'm just telling you what he said, all right? He says it's true about you. And the second thing is that he has called you his friend. Does that mean something to you? It should. That'll bring you up to where you need to be as you're facing those trials and those sorrows. God is with me. I am his friend. He's treating me as such, even though this world's hard. All right, friends, as we go from here, listen to these words. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, may he comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. God bless you. Have a good week.